following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this October 21st, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. It is another beautiful day in Auburn, Alabama in terms of the weather. But I just have a feeling that I know how most of you are feeling on this Monday afternoon, and I could probably take a guess on how your weekend was as well. Up and down, disappointing, just to say a few. And it's on days like this where you don't have to question where we're going to start, where we're going to begin, what we're going to talk about today. I tell you all the time, there's a lot to get to, and that is the case today because there was some really, really good college football this weekend. Great results, great outcomes, great games. And we're going to talk about all of them today. But we're also going to talk about a football team that, as we sit here on a Monday afternoon on October 21st, a team that is still searching for their first conference win. A team that is 2-5 after losing what was yet again a winnable football game. Auburn loses to Missouri 21-17. Breaking it all down today, and I'll just say this, Hugh Freeze didn't help himself this morning. Sitting across from me in the studio, as he is every Monday and Friday, he's wild, he's crazy, he's your favorite, Uncle T-Bone. Happy Monday, sir. It's good to see you, even with the circumstances.
Yep, good to be seen. 334-321-1390. Get in early and often. I've got a feeling the phones are going to be heated up here pretty quickly by some of the text I got over the weekend. If you can't call us, give us a text at 334-784-1067. A lot of thoughts on the weekend. Around college football, it was a very exciting weekend of college football. You called it. Georgia showed their dominance.
Yep.
Alabama stumbled and fumbled and mumbled their way around Knoxville.
Called that.
BYU survives. Oregon looks dominant.
Yep. Indiana looked dominant.
Indiana looks fantastic. Iowa State survives. Mm-hmm. The playoff picture is probably as jumbled as it has ever been at this point in the season.
LSU showed dominance, too. They took care of business.
Boy, and what a monumental matchup they'll have at Texas A&M this weekend. One of those teams will be having inside track at making the college football playoffs with that W. So there is a lot to digest and a lot to chew about, but you know what everybody wants to talk about here locally.
Do we want to?
And needs to get off of their chest here at On the Line, the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. And I've got a public service announcement on that. We are not going to hold back anymore. You're going to get nothing but straight from the heart, at least for me as a fan and how I feel. And it is not good. Right now, it's beyond disappointment what I'm seeing out of the Auburn football program. With this bitter defeat, 21-17, giving up 15 unanswered fourth quarter points to a Missouri team that was ready to roll over and die when you're up 11, first and goal, and completely blow it and gag it up again. And I don't know how else to put it. There is no more disappointment in Auburn. Every fan base gets bucketfuls of disappointment. We get bucket and wheelbarrow fulls of job and disappointment. That's the life we choose as Auburn fans, and we're loyal fans. But right now it's more of a despair. It's just I don't ever feel like it's going to get better. And who can point to me and call in this show with a straight face and say, outside of recruiting, what you have seen under this staff that is going to make you think that even given talent, when everybody's still going to be recruiting and everybody's still, even the bad teams like Vanderbilt who can turn it on a dime and have great, young, aggressive, hard-nosed coaches like Clark Lea, who can point to me that one point so far in this tenure where this staff on the field coaching has said, made you say to yourself, we're in good hands moving forward?
As a radio host, a play-by-play broadcaster, and just a straight-up fan of sports in general, I've said this so many times in my young career. There is nothing more that I hate, can't stand with any of my teams. It could be Auburn. It could be the Red Sox. It could be the Green Bay Packers, who looked good yesterday. There is nothing I hate more than losing winnable games. Losing a winnable game is one of the most frustrating things you could ever witness as a sports fan with one of your teams. And it's going to happen. There are situations, crazy things, crazy endings, crazy plays, ball bounces the wrong way. I get that, right? That happens in sports. That's what makes it so magical, some would argue. But the fact is, Auburn is 2-5, and four of their losses should be wins. They lost winnable games.
I'm going to interject here, Jacob. I think that four of those were definitely winnable games. Two of them, they should have won. Not could have won, should have won. And that's Oklahoma and Missouri. At the very worst, Auburn should be 4-3 right now. The Arkansas and Cal games are debatable. But they could have won them. They should have beaten Oklahoma and Missouri. And the coaches janked up the possibility of winning those games with their play calling.
And you can see how bad Oklahoma is, yes, with the injuries, but how bad Oklahoma
they're
is.
They're horrible. I mean, they're probably the worst team in the SEC, and we even lost to them.
And you saw Missouri was an average team. Missouri's not a top 25 team. I'm sorry, they're not.
They are. There are others receiving votes.
They're not. And Auburn lost a winnable game again. And we're going to get to John in just a second. And again, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. You know what happens when you consistently lose winnable games? You know who that goes on? Coaching. Again, it's on the coaching staff. I know there were plays. I know there were situations and scenarios. We're going to break them all down today. But the fact of the matter is, it's what you said. What has this staff done on the field in a year and a half that has shown us or proven to anybody we're in good hands? I've yet to see it. I've seen all the wrong signs, all the wrong outcomes, all the wrong calls. I don't care how hard it is. They've yet to figure it out. 334-321-1390. Let's get it rolling. John, you're on the line.
Hey, guys. I have not seen this football team respond well to adversity one time this season. When I watched that Georgia-Texas game, if Auburn were in Georgia's situation and had the pass interference overthrown, Auburn would have folded like a cheap paper bag. And to me, that's culture. And I think Hugh Freeze's culture has been, I'll be honest with you, awful. And I'll tell you where I think he lost the team. When you tell your quarterback, well, gee, golly whiz, I don't want Peyton to press. And because I don't want Peyton Thorne to press, gee, golly whiz, I'll give him the job over Hank Brown. Like, what kind of precedent is that in any organization? And I think he's lost the football team. Because when adversity comes, I haven't seen us do anything all year.
Except fold. Yeah, appreciate the call. I think he's exactly right. This team has yet to respond in a positive way. They've yet to do it. When they get punched in the mouth, they've yet to bounce back and say, all right, that hurt, but here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to respond. Here's how we're going to give it back. They've yet to do that. And you know where that goes on? You know whose shoulders that falls on? You know whose plate that sits on night in and night out, day in and day out? There's one man, one person that should feel that. And feel responsible for that. and it's the head coach who frees.
One thing I'm tired of hearing about, and I know it's true to a point, but we're approaching the 10-year time in this coaching staff at Auburn to where all the issues that you see on the field and off are on them. It's almost like in this presidential election that's coming up in 2 weeks, and I'm not trying to be political, but Biden or Harris, whoever, trying to still blame Trump for all the issues now in the country, or him and his tenure at this time towards election, trying to blame Obama or whatever. Man, in essence, we're really now into a third recruiting class with Hugh Freeze in well over 2 years' worth of time to get into the portal. And I understand that the NIL takes some time to get up and rolling, but it's up and rolling and has been for quite some time. All of these players, for the most part, except just a very few, are Hugh Freeze's players. And I know that I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, just wait till you get his players. When will that be? Because, you know, and I can't just sit here and continue to put my faith in the fact that we're recruiting well. Because in the holy Bible of college football, those red words of it's all about recruiting and Jimmies and Joes, not X's and O's, that recruiting is the way and the light, those don't account for what's happening today in college football. Just look at what happened at Vanderbilt. Any team can go out and get good instantaneously if they pick just a few of the right players and they're very good coaches. In fact, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now that I believe that anybody at this level in college football in a Power Four can flat out coach these days. So they just need a few players. A lot of these guys are very young, Jacob. They grew up in all these RPO systems, these systems that Hugh Freeze and Gus Malzahn and the like created. Mm-hmm. They live, eat, breathe, and sleep it. Just look at what all, you see it every Friday. These Auburn High kids eat and sleep football 24/7, 365 in an RPO fast, quick system. These young coaches are fearless. They're not waiting around 15, 20 years to get their shot like the old school guys did. Not to mention, they understand your system probably better than you do now. And they're constantly adapting to it. And we're still just kind of trying to do this same old system that he's – I don't even know what our offensive identity is now. And that's a huge problem at Auburn. I said it Friday. I said it Saturday morning with an early morning show with Jack Hutton on Wings. Until Auburn establishes itself, despite all the changes in college football, as a hard-nosed football program led by a hard-nosed man like Pat Dye, who was raised in football by hard-nosed men like Wally Butts and Coach Bryant, I don't care who you get. I don't care how much talent you get. Continue to run these quacky system-type offenses are going to get you killed.
Well, here's the thing is there's talent here already. There's talent on that team. You could see it on Saturday. Like, there is talent on that team. Is it to the likes and the levels of the top teams in the SEC? No. But can anybody sit here and tell me on this Monday afternoon, after watching that game Saturday, was Missouri more talented than Auburn? I don't think so. Maybe at a couple key positions, sure. I mean, heck, you had a quarterback who got knocked out of the game, went to the hospital, and came back and still beat you.
That's pathetic. That's just beyond belief to me.
But I mean, across the board, Missouri's not a better football team.
You got
They're
a guy
not more
Cam
talented.
Coleman who absolutely flat-out burns two Missouri guys for a 50-yard, beautifully thrown ball by Thorne touchdown. Was one reception for 47 yards, and you can't get the ball back to them ever in the red zone. If you're going to throw in the red zone and you're going to be that knuckleheaded to do it on first and goal, you can't throw it to Cam Coleman.
Well, I asked Hugh Freeze about that today, and he said he didn't run his routes correctly, which is why they weren't able to get
him. Well, maybe he's tired of running the same route that runs right into a double coverage zone, and he's breaking it off and trying to stay open. Because that's all I see continually is the same routes running into a zone. People are just playing too deep against us. The middle of the field's wide open, and we never drag anybody across. Our scheme sucks.
334-321-1390. Jones, you're on the line. How are you?
How's it going, gentlemen?
Not great. How's it going for you?
About as bad, but probably worse. Listen, Jacob, I've sent you a couple of texts recently, and I'm telling you I'm not advocating the termination of our coach. Let me say that up front.
Sure.
But and I know, Uncle T-Bone, you've been in business. I've been in business for many, many years. And something we do when something's being presented or something's basically become a tendency rather than an aberration. We do what's called a SWOT analysis, S-W-O-T. And if you look at our coaching staff, mainly our head coach, and you just said a lot of it when you talked about toughness, you look at the S, what is our strengths? Our strengths is recruiting. Okay, let's give him that. What is our weakness? There are so many weaknesses, we can't even define one. That starts at the top. Our opportunities and our threats, yeah, the opportunity is you keep him there and you might luck up and get your stud quarterback and this thing changes. He didn't do that, and that's his fundamental harmasia. That's definitely his huge, huge harmasia, our big mistake, if you will. The last one is threats. What are our threats? Our threats are we're getting so far left behind. Not only is football a football team of toughness, but the culture at Auburn, I've heard it said on numerous shows in the last 48 hours, the culture at Auburn has diminished to the point where it's an absurdity when you've got people that you hadn't talked to in 20 years that will text you, people like me, and rub it in our face. That's awful for a guy my age to have to put up with. I don't believe you fight fire with fire in that respect. I just say, guess what happened Saturday night to your team, those fellas that are texting. We're a joke, Uncle T-Bone and Jacob. It's an embarrassing joke. And the only thing you got to do to put up with it is people say, be patient. Well, when you're my age, you've been patient for 12 years. It ain't working for me. So give me some guidance, guys. Give me some counseling. I'm going to lay on the couch and listen.
Thanks for the call. 334-321-1390. And I love that. Clip it and ship it. I mean, that is, you could take that, exactly what he just said. Jones is a long-time listener, man. He's a long-time fan.
He's old school, man. I love it.
And you could take that and play that to every single Auburn fan, and they'd say, yep.
Well, here's
S-W-O-T.
The deal.
He nailed it.
Let's just go ahead and get this out of the way one time and one time only. There's going to be a lot of criticism here today, and there should be. No one's advocating right now on this show for anyone to be fired.
Correct.
What I'm advocating is for someone to take a look in the mirror, and it's gut check time, and decide, you know what, enough's enough. And you're about to see some old school Mississippi, North Mississippi redneck, hard nosed man in football. Because until we stop coddling and saying things about players sending text after games, and it would break your heart and make you cry, and until we start getting hard nosed and hard school like our cousins over in Athens who've decided that is the way, we are not going to be successful no matter how much talent we have at Auburn. And I don't care if it hair lifts the Pope or runs everybody off and they all go to the portal. We need a tough SOB in here who's willing to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball and play a nasty brand of defense and start there. And until that changes, we're going to have this conversation the rest of our lives.
Lots more to get to here on the Monday edition of On the Line. We want to hear from you, 334-321-1390. More of our thoughts on this, plus all the other games around college football. It is a not overreaction Monday here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back to the phone lines we go. 334-321-1390. K-Bag, I know better than to say happy Monday to you, brother.
Yeah, you do, Jacob, and I appreciate you not saying that. But we're soft. Well, I mean, we are soft. We don't have any moxie, and I want to go back to something Wade said in that first segment talking about Coach Dye. Do you know we only practiced twice last week?
Excuse me?
Wednesday, cut them loose after Wednesday.
I know they changed
Coach
up
Dye
the.
Would have been here, what,
I was going to say, I know they changed up their routine and their schedule and everything. I didn't know or don't know how many times they actually practiced because I wasn't ever to make it over there.
Practice twice, Tuesday and Wednesday.
That's what's sickening is that was the performance coming out of a bye week.
Exactly. And, you know, the game plan, I'm with Wade. I can't figure out the game plan. Coach Freeze talked in the post game about how he believes in the game plan. He believed in what the coaches put forth. And he said that week after week. And he talks about execution and how we do great during the week, and then we just crap the bed on Saturday. But he believes in the game plan. Well, I don't know what in the world he's believing in, because he's believing in the wrong dadgum thing. And it's like T-Bone said, you got to look stuff in the mirror, figure out what in the world we can do. But it's got to be something different, because the definition of insanity, we all know what it is.
And
this is what this is turning into, pure insanity.
That's the issue. I don't know, K-Bag, I don't know if Freeze has the ability to do that. And I fear that it comes from, it's not even the old school, it's just the older school generation of him and the coaches that came from his time. I mean, he said it today in his presser. He's been coaching for, 30-something years? Like, that's a long time to be coaching, man, from high school to college all the way up to where he's at now. I mean, that's a long time to be in the game. And when you're that seasoned, it's super hard to change the way you think.
Is there the possibility he's cooked?
What made me want to throw the radio out of the truck this morning when I heard that was that he said that we are playing and coaching not to lose.
Oh, you just hold on that. I got something for you guys
you're
coming up.
You're getting paid $7 million here, buddy. You got a brand new $100 million all-world football facility. You are given everything on a silver platter, and all you got to do is figure out how to beat the sorry teams that we've lost to this year. And he can't figure out how to beat Auburn High School, I'd be willing to bet you. And it is just absolutely embarrassing. My dad was talking this weekend about the Barfield days.
Oh, boy.
And my dad said, we ain't far from that on the road that we're traveling down.
I think we're worse.
And that tells you about everything you need to know.
Yeah, that's a rough comparison. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that's a tough comparison. K-Bag,
we don't lose 8 games, Jacob.
I know.
Brian Harsin had a better record at this rate, and granted, he had a few of Gus's kids with him.
True.
But he got fired 2 years ago next week, and I'm with Wade. I'm not saying the man needs to be fired, but good God almighty, something has to change.
I'm with you on that. K-Bag, it's always good to hear from you, my man. Thank you for calling in. 334-321-1390. And on that thought, he brings up the comment from Hugh Freeze today, and I went ahead and pulled it just in case anybody happened to miss it. So we got multiple of these clips that we're going to play throughout the show today, but this is the one that K-Bag brought up. Take a listen to this.
But I do think we still play not to lose instead of, man, let's play to win. And truthfully, we probably are coaching that way some too. I feel the pressure of those calls of not being free to do what I've done for years and oh man, we could screw this up, or we could not execute this correctly. And so those are all feelings that are real and legitimate and probably have an effect on us not finishing games really well.
Coaching and playing scared in the SEC in 2024. No wonder you can't win. No wonder you're losing games. No wonder you can't hold a lead in the fourth quarter. No wonder you can't catch passes in the end zone. No wonder you can't make a field goal or hold on to the football. They're all playing scared, and they're being taught to play scared.
Well, you know, we're going to do a lot of complaining. Here is one solution I'm going to offer outside of Jarquez Hunter. I think I'd sit just about every upperclassman and just go ahead and make the future now, and that includes that quarterback.
There's a problem with upperclassmen over there. I'm just letting you know.
You got a guy in Robert Lewis who gets a very well-thrown ball to him on first and goal. First of all, I don't think you should have been throwing the ball there late in the third quarter, up 11, with the ball first and goal from the 9.5-yard line. Just run the ball. Just run the clock. And even if you don't get in, you at least get it more in the middle of the field with a struggling kicker, which, what, is brutal Burt Watts coaching special teams over there again?
I don't know what's going on.
Because I watched that kid dominate kicking from long distances and all distances in high school, and now his confidence is shot. What's going on with that? But let's get all the older guys out of there. Sorry, guys. The future's now. If you want to stay, fine. If not, leave. Because when you throw to Robert Lewis – who really hasn't done anything this year, in my opinion, who I don't even think plays that much, And he runs a heck of a route, and he gets open, and a dime's throw to him, and it just completely whiffs it. That puts the game away. And here's a quote from Hugh Freeze after the game on that. The first was an RPO, and we had Robert Lewis. Wish we would have had a bigger guy in there. Yeah, his name's Cam Coleman. You only got him the ball one time. Did you see the touchdown pass, Jacob? How many times have I watched that pass?
Oh, he burned him.
That is a beautifully ran route.
Burned him.
It's not just one guy. It's two trying to double coverage him. He's 2 yards ahead of him. The ball is perfectly thrown. He hits the accelerator. He's 7 yards behind him.
And again, I asked Hugh Freeze about that today. I said, one catch for a touchdown. And just asked him about the confidence and if that gets him involved more. And he said, well, he probably should have had two or three more catches, but he ran the routes wrong. Our boy Jeff down at Enterprise has a thought on that. He said, and we know Jeff, he's a football guy now.
Yes, he is.
He says, quote, if Cam Coleman is running wrong passing routes, simplify it, Hugh. Says again, Ryan Williams is only running two pass routes, and they make it easy on him, and he's only 17, you know.
I mean, Jeff's the one that pointed out this whole thing about trying to be on the same page with the quarterback and showing whether the in-flex or out-flex on the defensive back, and they have to read each other's minds to run the route. It's ridiculous. It's not going to work. The guy's a playmaker. Let him make plays. And where's Perry Thompson? Get the young guys on the field.
30 minutes in to hour number one. And I promise you, we're nowhere near done. Lots more on the Monday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes in to hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is. And don't think anything's been held back in the first 30 minutes, and I don't think it's going to be for the next hour and a half, or maybe until the end of time. I don't know. I mean, just seems to be the way of the road as of late with Auburn as they lose yet again to Missouri. On the road, they are now 2-5 on the season, and problem is, doesn't look like it's going to get any better. We're not flipping the page yet from this conversation, and we want you to be a part of it as well. 334-321-1390, that's the number to call in to be a part of the show, or you can shoot us a text in the On the Line text box. That number is 334-784-1067, and we get to the phone lines. Specter, you're on the line.
Well, guys, once again, the football team has lived up to their motto, refuse to win.
It's so true. Like, it's sad, man. It's sad. It's can put it on a T-shirt.
It's unbelievable. I mean, okay. Here's what I saw. I saw a bunch of guys on the field, defense and offense, that don't execute.
Yeah.
Absolutely do not execute. Now, is that a player and a coaching problem? A combination of both? What are we talking about?
I think it's a combination. I mean, Freeze talked about it today with, you know, defense was executed to perfection in the first half, but then they were tired in the second half, Specter, so they just didn't play as hard.
Well, that's why we got subs. I don't get the tired thing. You know, you practice all year long. You get that endurance built into you.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen guys in my days play both sides of the line.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't buy this tired crap.
I don't
walk to school uphill both ways.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, there's some young guys out there, and that's the thing I've been saying is, look, if you have a freshman corner that gets beat because he just got beat, okay, I get it. He hopefully learns from that and doesn't let it happen again. But I'll tell you what I'm tired of, Specter. I'm tired of seeing Keontae Scott get burned.
Well, let me tell you what else I'm tired of. I'm tired of a senior named Jay Thompson trying to do an open field tackle with his shoulder. All he had to do was wrap his arms around the guy's legs and he went down, but he just bumped him like bumper cars.
Yeah, thinking he could knock him over and the dude bounced right off of him.
Yes, exactly. This is a senior we're talking about.
I know it. I know.
And I hate to use the word, but I think K-Bag's right. This football program right now is soft. It's soft as Charmin. And, boy, that's painful to say.
I didn't hear T-Bone.
I'm sorry. I halfway said it under my breath because I hate to say it, but I think that Specter, the Auburn football program right now, soft.
Absolutely it is. I mean, what do we do about it? I mean, he did a damn good job recruiting.
Go with the young guys.
He could not put a team on the field.
I know. And that's, I think that's why. And I didn't get the chance to ask this exact question today. I wanted to. Just didn't work out that way in the presser. But I wanted to ask him with the calling or the growing calls of playing the young guys from the fans, because folks like you and a lot of our listeners have been asking for this for weeks now. Just play the young guys, right? Get them out other than Jarquez Hunter at this
maybe
point.
Maybe KLS.
Yeah, KLS. I mean, the obvious ones. But other than that, if you're a sophomore or freshman, be ready because you're getting in. I wanted to ask him that. I just didn't get the chance to.
Once again, I saw Peyton Thorne wanting to be the coach of the team. And he called a timeout, the critical timeout that we could have used at the end there. And coach was chewing his butt out one way and another. The offensive coordinator, I guess that was offensive coordinator, quarterback's coach or something. I don't know who he was. But he was sitting there listening to what the coach was saying to Thorne. And obviously to me, Thorne was wanting to run the team.
Yeah, I know what player you're talking about. And I believe the exact words, if you could read lips and – in that situation, they were pretty easy to read, was Hugh Freeze telling him, run the bleep and play instead of trying to change
exactly
it.
Yes, exactly right.
And listen, I mean, it's obvious now that Peyton Thorne is just rattled, got zero confidence in most throws. When he's in the pocket, it begins to collapse. He starts crouching down, crouching tiger, can't throw a ball like Brody Croyle
but
in the 2005 Iron Bowl.
The few balls he does throw well, they don't catch them.
That's because they got the wrong receivers in, baby. Go with the Freeze 4 and KLS and let it rip. That's what I was told all offseason. Peyton's going to be fine. We're going to put receivers around him, Uncle T.
Let me say this one thing about the offensive line.
Okay.
I tell you what, if Bo Jackson had that offensive line, he would have never won the Heisman Trophy. That's the truth. I know some of them are young. They hadn't worked together and all. But you got to look down deep and pull it out and work together.
Yeah,
I seen on the very first offensive play, number 77.
Yeah,
no, not 77, 73 maybe. 73. I don't know who it was.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean he got faked out of his boots. You thought the guy was going outside, and he went right between him and the guard.
Yep, and just blew the play up immediately.
Exactly. Anyway, guys, got to go. Sorry.
You're good. Appreciate the call. You're fired up today, Spectre. I like it. I like it. 334-321-1390. And there's a lot there that I want to dive into, and I'm glad he brings that up because that is where I want to go. And I was talking to some buddies this weekend about this again. If it is Jay Crawford, Sylvester Smith, like those types of players that are getting burned and it's here and there and, okay, receiver just made a heck of a grab over this freshman or he was lined up on the inside when should have been on the outside or lined up on the outside when he's supposed to force him inside and let him get the boundary, whatever the case may be, right? I'm willing to live with defensive guys who are freshmen making a mistake that you can teach them and make them better and they can learn from it next time. DeMarcus Riddick, if he misses the gap. Whatever the case may be, I'm not saying and pulling exact moments, just saying in general. Don't you feel better about a freshman who makes a mistake that it's going to get better rather than Keontae Scott, who still can't field a punt, who still can't defend the boundary, who still can't turn his head around? Wouldn't you feel better about it being a freshman hoping it can get better other than a dude who's played college football for 8 years and doing the same thing over and over and over again? That's frustrating, man. Sickening, to use the words of Hugh Freeze.
Spector mentions the offensive line, and so do you, Jacob. Tigers rushed for 110 yards on 35 carries. Not their best outing running the ball. Hold Missouri to 81 yards rushing, though, and were pretty much dominant the entire game until late in the fourth quarter. I still believe that a full commitment to the running attack, at least if you're going to have Peyton Thorne in there where he can RPO a little bit more or at least get him rolled out, get him running the ball more as well, would be effective. He is not a pocket passer, in my opinion. He is an athletic quarterback. And anytime he feels pressure in that pocket, he begins to cringe, and those throws go in the dirt or go way above the receiver they're intended to. Get some easier passes out there. Get some Jarquez Hunter out in the flat. Like I've said all year, the middle of the field is wide open. Defenses have just given that to Auburn because we never throw there.
That's a tale as old as time with Auburn.
It's
run
ridiculous.
The slant.
Drag some guys across the middle.
I mean, it ain't that. Run a crossing route.
Well, that's the thing it gets me, Jacobs. I watch all these other teams and what they do, and I'm not even talking about these super elite, talented teams. We just don't look like we run with the speed and urgency and the design and schematics that modern college football is running right now. And I'll put a question to you right now. If we'd have had that Carnell Williams, Will Friend offense with our good friend Robbie Ashford running when they took over as interns, do we win that game Saturday just running that modified offense?
Absolutely.
I think so, too.
Auburn would have won all the games except Georgia.
It's just baffling to me. And now we're getting to that point again, too, where the questions are going to start being asked. Who's really calling the plays? Because there's some interesting quotes you're going to play in a little bit about that as well.
There are lots of quotes and confusion, I think, is where Auburn fans and their frustration come from. Let's get back to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. General Lee, you're on the line, my man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Doing all right. What's on your mind today?
Well, good afternoon there, Jacob and Uncle T. I think it's time to bring the team psychologist from the natural end. losing is a disease.
It's contagious.
I tell you, I'd be like, Bob, do you want to sit on down there and listen to the man? I've been watching games since, or going to games since 1980, and the implosion when we get to the point where we can step on the neck is, mm-hmm. I mean, I hate to say this, but I'm beginning to think that, you know, something sinister is going on here, like we're trying to throw these games.
I don't think that that's
General
the case.
General Lee says Vegas is involved. Vegas has infiltrated the Auburn locker room.
I'll say this, General
Lee. I think local man. Local man.
General Lee, I don't believe that's the case, but I will tell you, you would believe when I say this that you're not the only person I've heard say that multiple times.
Yeah, obviously, I'm just kidding.
Of course.
Radio Land, I am just kidding. I don't mean that. But it just, you know, it's the same thing. It just, you know, it really does kind of feel like the locker room of the natural. I mean, you know, you keep on with this losing the way that they do. And first and 10, man, I mean, I'm just checking in. I don't know what was said the first 30 minutes. But, you know, first and 10, go ahead and put that game away at, 24-6. I mean, just, you know, let's get the bus cranked up. But
right.
It's just the same thing that plays out. Peyton Thorne, bless his heart, he throws in triple coverage all the time. Why can't we get, I agree with your schematic, comments there, Uncle T. We need to be rolling Hunter out in the flat more, doing some more things that are easier, simplify this thing and quit trying to just be, you know, so cerebral about every stinking thing. And
there
you know,
it is.
To me, watching it, you see that it happened. You know, he does tense up. The play, I don't know what's going on with the communication between the coach, the OC, the quarterback, you know, whoever is, like, pulling the strings on this. But when we get in those pivotal parts of the game, it just seems like it just implodes.
Yep.
And then when it happens, you can just kind of almost sense the team going, oh, here we go again.
And the fan base does the same thing. And I'm going to say this. I cannot make this up. Saturday afternoon, sitting in my house on the couch, had some buddies over. Two of us looked at each other when Missouri kicked that field goal, and it was 17-6. We looked at each other, and I can't make this up. At the same time, we said Auburn's going to lose 20-17. Auburn's about to lose this game 20-17. Now, we did not take into account that they were going to go for two, but we could feel it happening. We could feel what was about to happen because we've been there so many times. And guess what?
You really can. That was my feeling as well, unfortunately. And I just, you know, I'm like Uncle T. I grew up in the 80s. I was spoiled rotten from, you know, the four SEC championships and the Dye era. And then, you know, and then the carryover from that. And then, I mean, Tuberville had some good years. And I just, this program, and it's really, and here's another thing, too. And the defense, I think, played hard. But I got to say this, guys. This is just another game where we make the opposing quarterback every game look like freaking Tom Brady.
Yep.
And it just happens every week.
Every time.
You know, I don't know, man. Obviously, I'm frustrated, and it is Monday, right?
Sure.
But, you know, just imagine yourself, you're a ship at sea, gently rocking. We need a team psychologist come in.
I'm telling.
Yeah, Roy Hobbs isn't coming through that door, guys.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Roy Hobbs isn't coming through the door. I was going to go to Kentucky this weekend. I'm going to sell my tickets and cancel my hotel.
You hear that, Auburn?
Yep.
There you go. Yeah. That's all you need. Hey, man, we're up against a break. Great to hear from you,
okay,
my
buddy.
Man. Thanks so much, man. General Lee joining us on the phone lines. Take what he just said. Right there at the end. Take what he just said. He was going to make the trip to Lexington. And Auburn fans are saying, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, I think Auburn fans and old school ones are tired of drinking the Jabba snake oil. We've had enough. And pretty much we're all skeptics now and jaded. We're going to have to be in see it to believe it mode. And there's no more just hang in there with us and give us all your hard-earned money and time. When you continually let people off the mat in games you should win, and really just dating back 10 years of complete and total mediocrity, what else are we supposed to do other than just be like, yeah, we'll go to the games and have a good time? Maybe we can be like Ole Miss used to be, Jacob, and hotty toddy. By God, we won't win the game, but we'll win the potty.
Jeez.
That's pathetic.
We're comparing ourselves to old school Ole Miss. Tell us we're down bad. Jeff also throws in, and we're about to get to break. He said, as soon as ESPN threw up the graphic about the fourth quarter record, I knew we were cooked. 334-321-1390. We take our final break in hour number one. Don't worry, a whole lot more coming on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. And we'll talk a little good news here for a second because we've got our Orthopedic Clinic High School Player of the Week. And this week's Orthopedic Clinic High School Player of the Week is Auburn High School's B.J. McGee. The Tigers' corner had the game-sealing interception on Friday night versus Carver-Montgomery to help the Tigers of Auburn High School win a Region 2 championship down at Crampton Bowl. B.J. McGee, your Orthopedic Clinic High School Player of the Week. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. Find them online at theorthoclinic.com. And yes, Auburn High School. There is one good team in this town. Heck, there's one right across the town as well.
Oh, yeah.
Auburn and Opelika. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, in case you didn't hear what happened Friday night. Auburn went down, Auburn High School. We went down to Crampton Bowl. Carver-Montgomery has a nasty team. And I say that in a good way. Not nasty bad or ugly or dirty. Like, just nasty good. Like, they are talented. They are well coached. And that quarterback, Russell, is a... He's a dude. Like, he is an unbelievable player, and he gave Auburn everything they wanted. But Auburn was able to jump on him early and play really good defense, get a couple of interceptions thanks to guys like B.J. McGee, who's been playing really, really good on the outside for Auburn's defense, and Coach Goolsby over there. Auburn beats Carver, and they win the region championship. They are still undefeated, Uncle T-Bone, have yet to lose in one of the toughest regions, if not the toughest region, in Alabama and in high school football. They are now the one seed out of Region 2, and a huge result that happened over at Bulldog Stadium Friday night, Opelika takes down Central and secures the two seed in the playoffs out of Region 2. And in case you don't know, with the changes they made to the 7A state high school football playoffs, do you now know what's possible, Uncle T-Bone? Do you know what could possibly happen?
I'm going to guess they could play each other in a state championship.
They could play each other for a state championship. They'd have to make a run now. They'd have to make a run, both teams, all the way to the state championship in Birmingham. But it is now possible for Auburn and Opelika to play for a state title.
Well, there's still a place for playing nasty defense and running it down your opponent's throats in today's football world. And Opelika kind of made a shift to that heavy after its loss to Auburn. We called this one Friday. Central's not quite what they were. Still a very proud, tough program, but you're going to Bulldog Stadium, and that's a red-hot Opelika team.
Who's only getting better.
Who's only getting better. And then along the way, there's your Auburn High Tigers, your baby Tigers, number one in the state, and they're only getting better too. So that would be something if they could match up. And I like that a little bit better. I mean, if they're playing as the best two teams in 7A, they shouldn't have to play in the quarterfinals to see who goes to the state championship. They should meet up in the state championship if possible.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be, right, you'd have a team from the northern half of the state versus a team from the southern half of the state. So Auburn and Central met, before the state championship a ton. And now that is a possibility. But it is really, really fun right now to be calling Auburn High School football. They'll have Dothan this Friday for the season finale. The game technically doesn't matter, but don't tell Auburn High that. And you won't be able to tell Dothan that either. They're going to come up and punch you in the mouth as much as they want to. That's a really, really good Dothan team. So I wanted to share the Orthopedic Clinic High School Player of the Week. And man, I can't even keep up with the amount of texts we're getting in the on-the-line text box right now. 334-784-1067. Going to try and get through just a couple of these to get them out over the air. One guy says, you can't win with four offensive play callers. Play to your talent and not to your schemes.
Who's calling plays? I mean, that's a great
point. That's what he said.
You know, this is that whole here we
going
go
back
again.
To Auburn University, of course.
Yeah, Gus Malzahn and is it Chad Morris or Malzahn? Is it Chip Lindsay or Malzahn? Is it Leslie or Malzahn? Is it both? Is it Harson? Is it Brutal Burt Watts? I mean, who's calling the plays? That maybe you should simplify that process first. You know, I don't know, but whoever's calling them, I think that I'd do a little bit more adaptation than what we've been doing, because I can see it on TV. There's open spots of the field. Get your playmakers on the field and get them out in space and let them make plays. That's what playmakers do.
They make plays. And this team still doesn't know how to win. They're trying to figure it out.
Look, if you're not going to get the ball to Cam Coleman more than one time a game, then he ain't going to stick around here. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
We have more clips from Hugh Freeze today, more thoughts from this weekend. I don't even know. I don't even know what else is coming up. Now we're number two. I guess you have to stick around to find out.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line. On ESPN 106.7, I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, I'm sorry you missed it. You know what it was about. it was about Auburn and Missouri. The entire first hour was that. Lots of phone calls, lots of text messages, lots of rage, lots of reactions. And we're going to have a lot more of that in hour number two. When I tell you I cannot keep up with the text box right now.
You getting some interesting texts?
Yeah. We're going to get to those in just a second. Don't worry. Don't you worry. We've got some people fired up on this Monday. But if you did miss any of hour number one, be sure to go and listen to the podcast. You'll find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. Our SEC football challenge is there as well, which somebody did pretty well. I'm not going to say who, but somebody predicted a lot of the big games this weekend, which I do want to talk about here a little bit in this hour, but that was in the first hour. Lots more here in hour number two. No Jacob Hillman today, so phone lines are still wide open. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. The text box number, if you want to get in with all those crazy fans over there, they're having a good time, I think. 334-784-1067. I got a therapy session going on the phones over here. It's pretty wild so far, and keep them coming because there's some good ones in. There's some doozies in there. 334-784-1067. Before we get to content, including that text box, want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here during On the Line on ESPN, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. And did you ask me if we had any interesting text over here? Because we do. We have a lot of them.
Let's hear one.
I don't know who sent this. I ain't got a clue. No name. Maybe that was on purpose. There's a lot, so stay with me here. Says this team is not well coached, not going to execute, not fast or physical, and will continue to make stupid mistakes. At this point, we are all mad and can't take it anymore, like the anchor on the movie Network. All I ask is that at this point that we see an angry team that plays and fights for 60 minutes. He goes on, or she goes on to say, don't get on the bus and go to the airport on Friday unless you intend to fight for 60 minutes. Everyone, including coaches, players, staff, anyone associated with Auburn football. And they wrap it up with this. Tired of low-energy Jeb on the sidelines fight or leadership on the field or the sidelines. Mini rant over.
Low-energy Jeb. Boy, that's a low blow there.
That ain't for me.
I think that's a little bit more sophisticated and creative way to say what I was trying to say in the first hour. Go young now, except with a few guys like Jarquez Hunter who are making it happen, and coach like your job is on the line and with fire in your hair and let it rip. Because, listen, who cares if they were to win out? And I know that's funny. What, would they go to the Birmingham Bowl? I mean, give me a break. They're not going to a bowl game, so let's start preparing for the future now. Show these young guys in this recruiting, which everyone continues, or a lot of people, to say that's going to be the saving grace for us. And I got to remind folks, this isn't 1988. People can leave your program at any moment's notice for any reason. And there's going to be turnover this year.
That's what's scary. We're getting into that point of the year where this team stands is we have to start having legitimate scary conversations of what can Auburn salvage.
Coach Free said it today. I mean, pretty much that, you know, you got to how tough and how big of a challenge it is to coach football these days and make millions of dollars because you got to recruit your roster and you got to recruit other people's rosters and you got to recruit. Oh my gosh, it's such a challenge today, Jacob.
Sounds a little something like this.
It's a challenge to recruit your current roster, to help work on the offensive game plan. Thank God I've got guys I trust on the defensive side, because if I had to do anything more over there, it definitely wouldn't be enough time in the day. And then this profession has gotten to where, you know, you feel like you're, lifting weights and there's an added 45 dumbbell like every other day, possibly with something else, whether it's the transfer world or an academic or a discipline issue or a family issue that a kid's having, and when you're a relational staff like we are, you know, they feel the comfort level to, let me go see Coach Freeze.
So we talked about the difficulties that is coaching nowadays in 2024, which this is not the first time this has been brought up, Uncle Tebow. This is not the first time that Freeze has reminded us how difficult it is, how challenging it is to be a coach, and how there just doesn't seem to be enough time in the day to coach your offense, coach your defense, be a father figure, be a mentor, recruit your roster, recruit high school players, look at the transfer portal. There's just not enough time in the day.
Man, it's tough, Jacob. $7 million a year, man. It's hard. It's hard for Kirby Smart, man. He complains all the time about the challenges out there in his football program. Just not enough time in the day, man.
I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I do. But, man, comments like that cannot be coming from the top.
That's going to rub some people the wrong way.
That cannot be coming from the top. If it's a sophomore who says, man, I just I can't handle school and the practice and the playbook, and it's just too hard, I'm just going to quit. All right, then quit. Do whatever. I haven't heard any of that. I'm just making comparisons here. If there's an assistant coach that says, man, I just don't have enough time in the day, I need some help, I need another assistant in here, okay, you probably find a way to figure that out. But when you've got the top man in the building, who is in charge and says, it's too hard, the job is too hard, that's not good. That's not good. And we've seen across college football and college basketball, there's a lot of coaches that knew it was too hard. They figured out it was too hard for them. And you know what they did?
They quit.
Nick
Saban said he couldn't keep up with the 14-hour days any longer.
They retired.
And he retired kind of from the University of Alabama. They still pay him for whatever reason. And, you know, listen, I get it. It's a tough job. This is a game, although it's a $100 million business game. Kids play football out in the yard. I mean, don't tell me it's hard when it's hard for some people to put meat on the table every night for their family. People live paycheck to paycheck, bro. This is a football coach saying how hard it is. I hope that's not him looking for any kind of sympathy, because he ain't going to get it. Man, you're making almost $7 million a year to coach football in Auburn, Alabama, where you're probably one of the richest people in this town. Buddy, go earn your pay.
Auburn fans are not going to give him that. And look, I'm not taking away from the fact that it probably is hard. It is. And I know that it's gotten more difficult than it's ever been. It's the SEC that you currently sit at the bottom of.
Very bottom.
They're
the worst team in the SEC.
I was just about to say it. Auburn's the worst team in the SEC.
Let's just go ahead and say it. They are. Mississippi State.
And that is not. I want to make this clear.
More intensity than Auburn, and I believe Jeff Libby would outcoach this staff.
This is not an overreaction.
Right now,
I promise you, this is not. I think Auburn is playing mid-level football in the SEC, but results-wise, at the end of the day, when the clock hits triple zeros in the fourth quarter, they're playing like the worst team in the league. Mississippi State has ran with everybody they've played. And if you watch them,
Toledo.
Well, yeah, I don't know what happened there. But they've gotten better since. At least
they
give
sure
them
have.
Credit. They've gotten better since that game.
They have.
You know what Auburn's done since they lost to Cal?
Gotten
the
worse.
Same thing, or worse. Or worse. Mississippi State has a talent deficit. But they don't have a coaching deficit. They don't have a effort deficit. They don't have that. They ran with everybody they've played. Get them some more talent, and they're going to beat some people. Auburn's got the talent. They just can't get the rest of it to come together.
It's another example of what I've been trying to tell everybody, that these younger coaches, and Jeff Libby's an example of it, are fearless. They understand the modern day of college football best. If you're not willing to adapt and embrace what they do with the next generation of them on your staff instead of going to your, let's face it, henchmen, just like Brian Harsin did his second year. Remember, he got Mike Bobo and all those people out of his offense and got his guys in there. I mean, Hugh Freeze has done the exact same thing. And these are guys in Ken Austin and Coach Nix who have been around, but have they ever really, truly been full-blown successful offensive coordinators as of late? I mean, has Coach Nix ever really, truly called plays? Is he calling them now? Who's calling plays? There are literally hundreds of young people out there that know the modern-day college football offenses way better, I believe, than our head coach. That's not a shot at him because the same thing happened to Nick Saban back in 13 when Hugh Freeze was one of those young guys like Gus Malzahn was, and they called Alabama of the world flat-footed. You know what he did? Canned what he was doing and pivoted and adapted and embraced it. We're not doing that. We continually do the same things over and over and over again with the same personnel who shouldn't be on the field.
In hopes that it's just going to one day click.
And it's not.
And even if it does, are you willing to risk it? That it's, I mean, it could be too late.
Look, the trust factor with Auburn fans, and I'm an Auburn fan, is eroding strictly on the fact that we were told this summer that Peyton Thorne had turned the corner and he's our guy and we got the weapons around him and it's all good and he's a student of the game and it's all good. And to sell that snake oil, and it's not, it's going to be hard for anybody to buy into any kind of comments moving forward that we've got this, just stay with us.
But I still believe that he believed that. I still believe that Hugh Freeze believed in Peyton Thorne. But I cannot get over the fact that he put his job on the line for Peyton Thorne. He put his job in the hands of Peyton Thorne.
Did we not see enough last year to think maybe we should go out and get another guy to push him to be better at
just
the very least?
Just in case.
Just in case. Or if he got injured. You know, that was something that was brought up earlier in the year, and it really, by a caller, I can't remember who it was. He's like, what if he'd have gotten hurt or gets hurt, and you think that Hank Brown's the answer after what you saw in Arkansas game in the first half? I mean, there were players to go out there and get. There was money to get them with. Maybe not the million-dollar money, but the Diego Pavia money. And what's that going to be like, Jacob, if they go up to the Commonwealth of Kentucky and get blown out Saturday night and then come to town and here at 11 o'clock in the morning and I got to go on at 6 a.m. without a Bloody Mary and Jack Hutton on Game Day on Wings 94.3 just dreading the Diego Pavia beatdown 2.0 from last year that he's going to continue this year. What if they go, Jacob, and lose at Kentucky and then host Vandy and lose, and we just lost to three mid-former Eastern Division Conference teams?
And staring down the barrel of a 3-9 season.
Man, you think Auburn fans are going to have any kind of trust factor and there's going to be any kind of just stick with us because we're going to solve this by recruiting when the rest of the free world recruits – not only in high school, elite, with all the big schools, but in the portal as well. And they've out-recruited you in the portal. They've beaten you.
Got people questioning. And just want to get a reminder on, it was, in fact, in Hugh we trust, right, Uncle T?
That's my gosh, this again.
Multiple text, multiple people asking if it is still in Hugh we trust.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. That trust factor's been broken, and I'm man enough to admit that I'm a fan, and I bought in, and I drank the snake oil Kool-Aid, and I really did think 100% that Hugh Freeze was the answer and could turn this thing around. I mean, I have to admit that I question that now, and I don't think that's unfair for me to say. It doesn't mean that I'm not pulling for him. I'm always pulling for Auburn. I've been through it all with the Auburn Tiger football program in my life. I've spent way too much time worrying about Auburn football in my life, but it is what it is. But, yeah, no, I don't trust that that's going to work out right now. Do I believe it still can? Sure. anything can happen, but there's going to have to be some really tough gut check moments, I think, with that coaching staff, and they're going to have to quit making comments about how tough it is and how big a challenge it is to be a head coach in college football these days. Either you have the stomach to be up for the job right now, or you don't.
We got some doozy text in the text box that we got to get to when we come back. Phone lines are open. Text box is open. 334-321-1390 if you want to call in and be a part of the show, or text us at 334-784-1067. Again, no Jacob Hillman today, so we are rocking and rolling here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Why don't we read some more text from the On the Line text box? I mean, this may be the most ever.
Is that phone on fire over there?
My phone is literally burning right now. 334-784-1067. A lot more text than actual phone calls. I don't think people have the energy to talk on the air today because it's just so tiring and infuriating and frustrating. How do you think we feel? I'm just kidding. We love our job and we love what we do.
Well, it's a challenge to come in here every day, Jacob, and field phone calls from folks who are fired up about Auburn football.
I was here when Harsin was here, man.
It's a challenge.
That's
man.
When I started.
It's a challenge.
I'm picking up now. I got it. I got it now. Hey, would you say it's gotten harder? Would you say radio has gotten harder in the last handful of years?
Man, oh man. I'll tell you one thing. This is I did not see this one coming this season, guys. I'll just go ahead and tell you that. What is a challenge sometimes is handling some of these texts and phone calls I get off the air over the weekend, especially after the games. People are really upset, and heck, I can't blame them. It's beyond disappointing at this point. It's gone to despair. Who we got on the phone, Jacob?
We have a man calling in from Louisiana. JD, you're on the line, man. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon. As good as it can possibly be, you know.
Of course.
Hey, look, I grew up, you know, pretty much into the Pat Dye days as well, and I tell you what, you would never hear anything from Coach Dye ever about, you know, it's hard work. Always, you know, we got to recruit our staff. I mean, we got to recruit our players. He would get you out there in the football field, and I can tell you, I remember the days of hearing about practice and the Pratt issue, you know, the player that collapsed on the field from practicing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, look, it's in the Auburn creed.
We believe I was about
in
to say
hard
it.
Work. And maybe Coach Freeze needs to go take a look at that and develop a little backbone and quit, you know, complaining about how hard it is.
Go ahead.
Once I heard that, I was like, oh, my gosh, I just want to throw up.
Yeah, it's I couldn't believe it when I heard it. And hey, JD, we appreciate you calling in from Louisiana, my man. Thank you for getting in on the phone lines.
I believe that this is a practical world, Jacob, and that I can count on only what I earn. Therefore, I believe in work, hard work.
And I love it.
And I love it. I believe in Auburn, and I love it, baby. And I believe it's a challenge right now. Sure enough, it's a challenge right now. I mean, you think it's a challenge for Steve Sarkisian to get up and answer the bell after being number one in the country and game day there and Matthew McConaughey on the sidelines yelling, all right, all right, all right, and Georgia coming in there and them finding out and messing around what it's like to be in the SEC? Do you think it's a challenge for Kalen DeBoer right now when they were running off the field after getting embarrassed by Tennessee? And this was playing. Oh, my lover, with the other. Or how about when they were singing this till ad nauseum? Home, sweet home to Uncle T. Woo! Yeah, it's a challenge. Welcome to the NFL of college football, the SEC. It's do or die every week. And you just can't wait around till you get your guys in here, because that's not how it is anymore. And Vandy's going to come to town in 2 weeks and pack your lunch, bud.
JD, we appreciate you calling in from Louisiana, man. That's fantastic. We appreciate you listening, first of all, and then getting in on the phone lines. Here's some of these texts that I want to get to, because it just piles on to what we're talking about here. Clay from Montgomery, not as quite as far as Louisiana, but still a good ways. He says, there is no reason ever, in all capital letters, Uncle Tebow, no reason ever that Indiana and Vanderbilt are both much better than an Auburn football team. From Coach Cignetti, and I quote, I win, Google me.
Coach Sig.
Guess what? He does. Coach Sig is buck. Coach Sig is awesome. Coach Sig is amazing.
Well, they would beat Auburn right now to death. Do you think Vandy will be favored when they come to town if Diego Pavia is healthy?
And if Auburn loses Saturday, yes. I take the Kentucky game out of it. I think Vanderbilt would be favored.
So this is just so bothers me that in today's college football world, I believe that Auburn has leadership that still thinks you can get it done the old school way, where all you do is recruit. And a bottom feeder, let's face it, in the history of the SEC and the Power Four and Vanderbilt, has flipped it on a dime with a hard-nosed young coach who does defense and an offensive coordinator. He went out and said, I don't know exactly what I'm doing offensively. I'm going to go out and get somebody. He goes out and gets a Jerry Keel who can flat-out coach. You found that out last year, Auburn.
You better
and he brings
it.
A quarterback with him, and they're going to come down here onto the plains in a couple of weeks and try and just put a fork in the rest of Auburn's season. That is today's college football world. And if you don't modernize and optimize Auburn, that's going to continue for a long time. Wake up and smell the coffee, leadership.
As of October 21st today, Vanderbilt has already claimed and sealed the fact that they're going to win more than their preseason win total of 2.5. They've more than doubled that. And it's official. As of Auburn losing to Missouri on Saturday, Auburn will not get to their win total.
That's 2 years in a row. Hell,
for the year.
Heck, that's 5 years in a row.
More text that we have here. We're going to get to break in just a few minutes. Text here says, who cares about the $7 million? Either you are a winner or you're not. I'm on my fourth football season with my senior daughter at Auburn. Thank goodness Coach Pearl is about to crank it up. Auburn is a great town. Wrong coach again. People are turning.
And you can,
fans are turning.
It's more than you can feel it. I mean, people are starting to be outspoken.
And I don't want it to be that way. I don't.
Nobody wants that, man. You want to be you know, how much different is this conversation today if just let Cal and Arkansas go? You took care of business against Oklahoma when you had them and you let them off the hook, and you take care of business against Mizzou and you let them off the hook, and you're 4-3 going to Kentucky.
You feel okay.
Probably going to go 5-3.
Yeah.
You feel pretty dang good that things are moving in the right direction.
With an opportunity in November.
That's why people are beginning to question whether or not Auburn's football program's moving in the right direction. Throw out the recruiting. But you can't completely, but look at what's been happening on the field.
You can't be blinded by recruiting.
I don't think you can either. It's a dangerous possible poison pill to take to base what may happen with high school recruiting classes over the next 2 to 3 years compared to what you're seeing right now when you have just as much talent as Missouri, Oklahoma, Arkansas, California.
That yeah, but is no longer an excuse. And what I mean by that is, okay, Auburn's not winning on the field. Yeah, but look at recruiting. But look at recruiting. Look at what they've done on the trail. That doesn't hold that bucket doesn't hold water anymore. That bucket's got leaks all in it.
If it did hold water, then explain Vanderbilt and their success, because they're ranked about 80th in recruiting right now.
Recruits win games, but coaches win championships.
It's more than the Jimmys and Joes now. You got to have some sure enough X's and O's. There's young coaches in this country right now who don't care that you may have helped invent the spread offense or not. They don't care. They're fearless. They're coming to take everything you got, and you better be able to fend them off one way or another.
More text to get to when we get back. Plus, I would like to talk about college football a little bit from this weekend outside of what happened in Como, because, man, it's all on its head. I mean, college
something
football
like
went nuts. Oh, we got to pay the bills. We'll be right back on ESPN Radio.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
I want to talk about what happened around college football, but my goodness, I can't get away from what we're talking about. There's so many other points about Auburn and Missouri that I just have to get out on this radio station, and I have all week to do it. And I know you're not back until Friday, Uncle T-Bone, but I, myself, Jacob Goetz, have so much more to say. And it's something you said going to break that it just now hit me, and it's baffling to me. Auburn fans would be willing to wash away, forgive, forget the California loss and the Arkansas loss. Games that when they happened, people were wanting Freeze to be fired right then and there because that should never happen. Auburn lose to California in football. Give me a break. But people were willing, and they're still willing, to forgive and forget that and the Arkansas game if they just did what they were supposed to do against Oklahoma and Missouri, because you'd be 4-3,
yeah,
have a good chance to beat Kentucky if you're 4-3 with some confidence.
I agree with that.
You'd have a good chance to beat Vanderbilt at home, which would end up probably being a pretty good football game.
5-3, and then you go 6-3 with ULM. You go 7-3.
By beating either A&M or Alabama.
And I do believe that that is realistic. I don't think it's realistic to say we could be 6-1. We're just not that good a football team.
No, I think something would happen.
But we could easily be 4-3. Trending towards 7-3 over the next month.
And 7-5 at the end of the year.
Well, not easily, but we could be.
That version of a 7-5 Auburn team that built momentum down the stretch and possibly upsets Alabama and Tuscaloosa, who, again, we'll probably have to
get vulnerable
to that tomorrow, but when Christian Griffin's in here. But that version of a 7-5 Auburn team would keep fans around. They'd have confidence.
Oh, they would.
You would keep the fans. You'd keep the recruits. You'd get recruits and get portal players and more money. And, man, everything would be going in the right direction at that point, even though you lost to California.
Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, I think that California's a better coach football team than us. And coaching can make the difference in today's college football world in any matchup. Any given Saturday, Vanderbilt's coach can outcoach Alabama's coach. We've already seen it. That never happens 10 years ago. I don't care if Diego Pavia transfers in or not. He'd had to sit a year anyway. Times have changed. But I will say, if Auburn was 4-3 right now, I'd be picking them today to go up to Kentucky and win to go 5-3. That would be a packed house at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Not to mention, that game would not be at 11 o'clock either.
The Vandy game?
Yeah, or the early game, whenever
it is. They would have found that to be a mid-afternoon game, probably.
And that would have been a heck of a ball game. If Auburn wins that, they're going to beat UNLM, and they're 7-3. These phone lines are opposite lighting up, mm-hmm, and text lighting up with a lot of confidence, especially if Alabama continues to stumble. And if they don't get it together with more discipline with their players, they will. We can get to that here shortly. And then all of a sudden you're 7-3 with A&M and Alabama, and you're going to get one of those games. You're going to get one of those games.
And then you're
under
eight
those circumstances.
8-4 with a win over either A&M or Bama, which was top 25.
And you're basically mimicking what Coach Dye did in his second year while at Auburn,
which is what most coaches do in their second years.
But
they
now
get better.
Now we're mimicking what Brian Harsin did in his second year,
or worse.
And that ain't no good place to be, Jacob Goetz.
Here's a text.
You know it, I know it.
Oh, we know it. This person says, you guys described it perfectly, despair. It's our guy Eric here in Auburn. He says, you guys described it perfectly, despair. Just seems like there are so many factors against the program that it is beyond repair. It's a total system failure. They just don't know how to win, and worse, they find ways to lose. It's the classic playing to not lose rather than playing to win. Snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. And he says, honest question, since no one is really thinking about making a change at the head coaching spot just yet, he asked you, Uncle T-Bone, mm-hmm, if you could change three things for the rest of the season, what would it be?
Like I said earlier, I would go young across the board, including the offensive line, and I would have the coaches, all assistants, also with an absolute drill sergeant mentality of urgency on the sidelines. I would make a full commitment to the run game with play action, with the beautiful passes you see thrown to Cam Coleman. He would not come off the field, by the way, and Perry Thompson would be in the field more, along with KLS guiding him. There'd be a few upperclassmen still playing. And I'd get a little bit more aggressive with that defense late in the game. We'd bring a little bit more pressure and see if we couldn't knock a quarterback out of the game and get a W. That's what I'd do.
I think.
And I'll tell you another thing I'd do if I was the head coach. I'd get up there in this next press conference.
Hold on. Side note, though. Knocking quarterbacks out of the game doesn't help you. Auburn let a backup keep him around. The dude came back from the hospital and beat you.
That's terrible.
He was in tears and said, I'm not losing.
You know, if we score that touchdown and it's 24-6.
They're done. He doesn't come back.
He doesn't come back in that game.
He doesn't even come back from the hospital.
No, he doesn't come back. And
heck of an effort by him.
The next press conference I had as the head coach, it would be more than 25 minutes of softball questions. It'd be me with the devil in me, and I'd be letting everybody know what we're about to do. And you can either get on board, and that'd be a message to the team, the university, the fans, the alumni, whomever. You can either get on board with this, or you can get the heck off of it. And I'd turn myself into a street fighter, because that's what it takes at Auburn anyway. Auburn is a wonderful city, beautiful village, college town. It's not a blue-collar town. That's not a blue-collar university, despite the fact that it's an ag school originally. But Auburn football is blue-collar. We are not Hollywood, Alabama. We are not the cane rain from the 80s. We're not showboats. We're gritty and hard-nosed. And we're not going to win every game, but we're going to win every heart. And occasionally we're going to pop and ruin your day. We're not even close to that right now. We're soft. We're not gritty. And we don't run the ball with authority. And we don't control the ball with authority. And we're playing scared. And that's not the Auburn I know. Anytime, anywhere, 365-247, the Auburn I know, play you anywhere you want to play.
You mentioned earlier, and it has been mentioned a ton, if we do want to dive into the game itself, which we'll do as the week goes on, the Robert Lewis play.
Oh, man.
Where if he catches the ball that hit him in the hands, off his chest, and onto the ground.
I don't even know if it hit his chest. I think it just went straight through. He might have got – and it was perfect.
One of the best throws Thorne has made all season long. And Hugh Freeze was asked about this today, about the Robert Lewis catch that was not a catch, that would have sealed the deal for Auburn. Brady Cook never comes back from the hospital. Missouri lays over and dies. And Auburn has a little bit of hope in the middle of October. This is what Hugh Freeze said about it.
Truthfully, it's a touchdown. And, I mean, the game's over. And we have to make that play. And it hits him right in the hands. It's a perfect throw. And I'm not beating up Robert. He's one of our greatest kids on our team. And nobody hurt. He sent a text out to us on the bus to the team that it would break your heart, you know. I mean, it's just like you know, that's on me.
I mean, it broke my little kid's heart and me watching it. Look, I'm sorry. You know, that kid wouldn't see the field again.
And those are the plays that you have to make.
There's playmakers over at wide receiver that are young, they're hungry, they're aggressive, they're ready to rock and roll. They may not run perfect routes. Get them out there and get them the experience where they learn how to run perfect routes and let them make plays. In that situation, that's a 5'10", 190-pound receiver who beat his man. I get it.
It was in perfect position.
But Hugh Freeze even said it, maybe we should have got a bigger receiver out there. You got Perry Thompson. You got Malcolm Simmons. You got Cam Coleman. You got KLS. You got Cam Brown. You can't go to the little guy there running towards the back hash mark. That's where you get your big guy who was ready to be fed. Number 8. You love him, baby. Cam Coleman, get it up in the air and let him get that touchdown and let us get a W and get back here to Auburn, Alabama, fired up about the rest of the season instead of fired up in the wrong way.
And on the flip side of that, where Peyton Thorne threw a perfect ball that was dropped, there was the play where he rolled out and was pressured and had, was it Fairweather that was peeling out on the right side, and he just floats it right over his head. If he hits him, the drive continues on that right sideline.
Yeah,
and
I don't remember that play. I remember Sam Jackson missing a very catchable ball in that game too.
Yeah.
And there's another person who's got a lot of football experience and should have a lot of football acumen. He's not making plays in critical moments. If you're going to have your guys not always make plays in critical moments, go with the young guys. I cannot stress that enough, especially now. And that's not going to be the magic bullet, the silver bullet, the solution to end all be all and get Auburn to win out the rest of the season. If you're really and truly worried about the future of Auburn football, you're going to have to go ahead and get some of these older dudes off the field. And you're going to have to go with the young guys. And you're going to have to prove to the world that we're not afraid to roll with freshmen. And you're not going to do anything the rest of the season otherwise, probably. Why not let everybody get their lumps? I mean, to me, that's get behind the young dudes. Tell them y'all are the future of this program. Fans, build them up. Let's not tear them down, and let's go. I don't know how else to put it to you, man. I mean, if you're listen, I don't know what's up with this Robert Lewis kid either. He had like 7 touchdowns and 90 catches at Georgia State this year. He's got 13 catches for 77 yards this season. I mean, what is the disconnect where players who were at other places, even in high school like Towns Magoo, cannot perform for Hugh Freeze at Auburn?
You got fans wondering if there's some voodoo happening inside the building. The word culture continues to be thrown around too, which that's really hard. And I just want to say this to radio people, journalists, or fans. That's really hard for us to speak on, and really not fair for us to speak on.
I don't know about that.
Because you don't know. I don't care what level of journalist. I don't care what level of radio. I don't care what level of fan or donor that you are. You're not in the building. I don't care what your sources say. I don't care what your friends say. You don't know. And one player's opinion is not how the entire team thinks. Now, if it starts coming out that there are serious culture issues, as we saw in the previous regime, then we have issues. But that's where fans are starting to go, because we're running out of ideas. We're running out of solutions on why it continues to happen the same way.
We're running out of hope. You know, and hope's a dangerous thing.
You better believe it. They say hope kills people.
We're running out of faith. We're running out of patience. Auburn fans, I think, have been about as patient as any fan base can be, especially what we had to go through with Brian Harsin. I mean, we did not hire him. The leadership at Auburn hired him.
Who, Brian?
Yes. And didn't have a real plan for when Gus Malzahn left. They're the ones hiring these folks, not me. But I'm supposed to just always put my head down and put my fist up and support every decision they've been making that has just run this program into complete mediocrity at best forever? When's it going to turn, Jacob? That is a legitimate question that Auburn fans can ask fairly, because we are still going to the stadium. We're still calling this phone. We're still texting. You know what happens when all that ends? What if we get blown out by Kentucky? There may be 65,000 people at Vandy. That's money lost to the university, lost in revenue to the city. That's just losing at epic levels. I mean, that's Vanderbilt. We're scared of them now? Are you joking? Are you kidding me? What have we done?
We'll take our final break here on the Monday edition of On the Line. We got a phone call. We'll try to get to that as well. And we'll wrap it up here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Let's get to the phone lines one more time. 334-321-1390. And the Barbershop has joined On the Line. You're on the air, my man.
Give us some good news, Barbershop.
Uncle T-Bone, I'm grasping for good news.
Oh, my goodness gracious, buddy.
Although I do not think it's near as dire as everybody else does, I do see a light at the end of the tunnel. but I'm with you, T-Bone. I'm ready for – I don't want to see Keontae Scott or Percy or quite frankly, anybody but Quez, Dylan Wade, and the punter. That's the only seniors I want to see on the field for the rest of the season. You got hungry freshmen that are the only ones out there making plays, and that includes quarterback. I think Hank has gotten a raw deal. Hmm. He's a little too jacked up for a half of a football game.
Right.
And quite frankly, I've watched Bama's quarterback and
yeah.
Oklahoma's quarterback and every other quarterback in the SEC throw just as many picks. You got to get him some reps, whether it's Walker Wright or Hank or whoever. By God, put somebody else in, because quarterbacks have got to be leaders. And what I have witnessed over the last 2 years is Thorne is just not a leader, man. He's not a winner. He's a loser. And we need winners to get the culture of winning back from the coaching staff to the players to the fan base to this program. It's going to take winning and a winning attitude. And the freshmen are the ones that are out there showing that spirit and showing that they care. And I'm just tired of looking at these upper-class bums, quite frankly.
And Freeze has told us that. I mean, Freeze told us, Barbershop, that the young guys want to be coached and that they're hungry, and they are out there making plays. And you may have heard me say this earlier. I'd rather a freshman get beat and learn from that mistake than watch Keontae Scott get beat for the 17th time.
Absolutely. I don't ever want to see zero on the field again. And if you're going to have that mentality with every single – I mean, I read the stat this morning. Auburn is first in the SEC in freshman snaps on offense and leading the nation on freshman snaps on defense. And quite frankly, the defense is the only bright spot of this team. So why are you doing it on every single position on the field except for quarterback? Get that bum out of the game. And let's go with the future here. And if they're not good enough, then we know we damn sure need to go into the portal next year for quarterback. Or you may actually find that he is a winner, that he just needed some reps with these young receivers. And you go into your recruiting class and say, hey, you see, we do play freshmen here. We're leading the nation in freshman play. Come join us. Come see what we're doing. At least get behind this freshman class and do something to give us a bright spot, because there's nothing bright about Peyton Thorne or Keontae Scott.
Barbershop, thank you so much for that phone call. Appreciate you listeners out there, especially you. Don't be a stranger, my friend. I think you said it best. Look, I thought about it more at the break. Go young, go fast, learn on the fly, coach them like your hair is on fire. And everyone get behind the team, because I think we've all seen enough of Peyton Thorne and some other guys he not affectionately called bums. And we're all bummed out. So let's make a pivot and go young.
Lots and lots and lots of engagement on the show today. And figured it would be. And all jokes aside, we do want people to understand that it's not easy to walk in here and talk about this for 2 hours again with another week of losing football.
I'm tired of talking about it.
But you can just hear it, man. You can feel it in the fan base.
Any quick thoughts on the rest of the college football world we weren't able to get to today?
Yeah, Christian Griffin and I hopefully get to some of this tomorrow and throughout the rest of the week, too. College football is awesome. College football is fantastic.
LSU is all of a sudden red hot.
I hate to toot my own horn, but I am going to do it on my show. I called LSU. I called Georgia. I called Tennessee. I nailed all three of those.
It's the worst weeks I've had picking yet. I was on the opposite side of all those. But
LSU's legit, man.
You know, I don't think Tennessee's very good. And that just goes to show how bad Alabama is right now.
Bama has some problems.
Completely undisciplined team when they did not sit down Malachi Moore, a captain, and say your behavior was not acceptable here. You're suspended for a game. It proved to the rest of the team they can do whatever. They got hit with a late 15-yard penalty on a push by Kedrick Law. Cost them a chance, an opportunity to win the game. That is an undisciplined wreck right now, and the intimidation factor in Tuscaloosa is nil.
I think Texas is kicking themselves for not running with Georgia longer, Right. I think that second half they showed a little fight. Yeah, they got some help, but we'll get to that later in the week. Georgia, though, right back to where they needed to be.
Oregon's really good.
Oregon is really good, too. I think Miami's still a fraud. I think they're going to get beat somewhere, whether it be the playoff or not. They're going to get beat and
they
exposed.
They host their old friends, the Seminoles, this weekend in Miami. That'll be a bloodbath.
Yeah, what a bloodbath that'll be. Clemson has quietly bounced back. Nobody's talking about them. A&M.
Red hot.
Red hot, man. They continue to do their thing.
That's gonna
I don't care.
That's going to be a great game this weekend.
That is a great game. They are hosting LSU. And then if they win that game, they're looking at a college football playoff.
You can still go through almost the entire top 25, and any of those teams could land in the college football playoff. That's incredible.
Well, your buddy Kirk Herbstreit was saying on Saturday how there were 30 teams that he counted going into Saturday that had a chance still at the college football playoff. I'm sure that number has changed a little bit. I'm curious. I need to go through and see where that stands now. But there are some really good football teams, and we're going to have a clash at the end of this college football season of the military academies. Army and Navy are legit.
USA,
they are awesome.
USA, USA.
Where does Army-Navy fans now? We go cheer Army. For the United States.
Go Army, beat Navy.
Oh, I'll take the midshipmen. Give me Navy. I'm an Air Force guy, but they're not great. So, Army, Navy, baby. Now, college football was fantastic this weekend. We'll talk a lot more. Indiana's legit, too.
Oh, my gosh, they are.
We'll talk more about those
games.
Hey,
my Cougars still undefeated on and off the field. Cougars undefeated. BYU, don't mess around in Provo, Cougars.
I'm glad you cleared that up. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. Christian Griffin will be in the studio. We appreciate everybody engaging with the show. Phone lines, text box. Our fans are the best fans, and we do appreciate you. I'm back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.